KBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. This could be a pivotal day for Senate Republicans who are racing to meet President Trump's July 4th deadline to pass legislation that includes $4 trillion in tax breaks and billions in Medicare cuts. The wildfire in northern Idaho was intentionally set, investigators say, to lure first responders to the scene to be the victims of sniper fire. On the scene, ABC's Alex Stone.
They were responding to what is seemingly just a routine call of a wildfire, and as they arrived, they began taking sniper fire, but a lot that they're trying to figure out now. Who was he? What was the motive in all of this? Are there any more weapons up on this mountain? They found them based on his cell phone of a lack of movement. They could see that there was a cell phone signal coming out. They zeroed in on that, and then they found him dead.
Deliberations beginning today in the sex trafficking and racketeering trial of Sean Combs, who could face life in prison if convicted on all counts. The judge reading final instructions to the jury. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Two Green Bay men have been arrested in connection with the suspicious death of a child in Green Bay. Green Bay police say they responded to a call on Alpine Drive on June 22nd for a two-year-old child with life-threatening injuries. The boy died 2 days later. Authorities from Florence County, Forest County, and Marinette County all helped take a 21-year-old man and a 48-year-old man into custody Friday night. The investigation continues and charges are pending. It's good news for the health of Wisconsin. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services has announced another year of decreased tobacco and vape sales to underage customers. According to a DHS report, the rate of tobacco and vape sales to underage customers dropped nearly 2% from 2023 to 2024. Agency officials say the jump in underage tobacco and vape sales aligned with raising the federal legal tobacco sales age from 18 to 21 in 2019. Prior to that change, the underage sales rate was about 5.5% and jumped to over 14% in 2021. OSHA is investigating a business connected to Robin Voss. Stuart J. Waddles has more.
A worker at a Racine County food packaging plant, co-owned by Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, lost a fingertip in a workplace accident earlier this year. JS Online reports that has led to a federal safety investigation. A spokesperson for TS Food Packaging told the paper they prioritize worker safety and will address any issues OSHA identifies. The report indicates the injured employee and another former employee dispute that safety protocols are always followed. This is the second OSHA complaint at the plant in a year.
I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to WGBW.fm.
The Brewers head to New York. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers on their way to Queens, New York, where they'll face the Mets tomorrow night. The crew losing to the Rockies yesterday, 4-3 in 11 innings. The game began with Rockies manager Warren Schaefer and batter Tyler Freeman arguing with the umpire about balls and strikes, both ejected. I asked Brewers pitcher Chad Patrick how it went for him.
That first inning was definitely a grind. I felt like I was making good pitches, just trying to get rewarded a little bit, how close they were. Said something, you know. Go on from there, but he ended up being right.
Basketball, the Milwaukee Bucks have reached a new three-year deal with Bobby Portis Jr. worth as much as $44 million. Head coach Doc Rivers.
Listen, Bobby, he's been fantastic. Every night he gives us something, defensively with his hands and his rebound.
And former Buck Malik Beasley, now with the Pistons, under investigation for gambling. Beasley accused of betting on NBA games 2 years ago while with Milwaukee. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A few scattered showers and thunderstorms around this afternoon, otherwise partly sunny with highs in the low to mid 80s. For tonight, skies becoming mostly clear with lows in the lower 60s. First day of July on Tuesday looks great. Sunny, a high of 82. Currently, it's 76.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It's National Handshake Day, but I find the idea that you just meet someone and you're holding a body part of theirs kind of odd. Hello, stranger. I'd like to squeeze your hand. Let's have an intimate act here. I have no idea where it's been or how you choose to use your hand in your spare time, but I'd like to hold it for a while. Unless it's a friend. Look, I don't know why we have to touch each other when we barely know each other.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Matt Rothschild and Angela Lang step into the host chairs, and they're joined by Tanya Atkinson of Planned Parenthood Wisconsin to discuss Donald Trump's threats to Wisconsinites' health care. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Jeff Smith, sitting in for Tom Hartman. Honored to be with you. The call-in line is 202-808-9925, 202-808-9925. What are we going to talk about today? A bunch of things. We will talk about the Mamdani election. It teaches us, I think, less than we think, taking on one data point and trying to draw too many conclusions from it is bad science. But the discussion that it has raised, I think, is a valuable discussion. To some degree, it's a discussion this show has on a regular basis. And I do have a thought that I think gets lost in that discussion. I do think that there's a taste great, less filling debate, and it clouds what I think is a more optimal strategy. It's not a false debate. It's not a false debate. That would overstate it. But I do think it clouds a really important debate. I will say, if only to encourage scrolling, I just landed my flight. It was my birthday yesterday, and I went to Mexico, which is a country just to the south of us. And I went to Puerto Vallarta with my oldest friend, and with a colleague of his. And my wife was with her sister and her niece for her niece's baby shower. So we were sort of separate during my birthday, and I flew back yesterday so I could be here. And I took American Airlines. I mentioned that on purpose because the flight was delayed for a confusing set of reasons that might none of which been the reasons. And I landed, finally I got home at 6 a.m. And so I came straight here. And not quite, that's not true. I took a shower, which was great. So I'm honored. Could we scroll this up a little bit, Nate? And I am honored to be here. And I do have a poem for the morning. It is A Hymn to Health by Erephron of Sicyon. It is Greek, but I don't do it in the Greek. I will give you the translation by J.M. Edmonds. Health, eldest of the gods, with thee may I dwell for the rest of my life and find thee a gracious housemate. If there be any joy in wealth or in children, or in that kingly rule that maketh men like to gods, or in the desires we hunt with the secret nets of Aphrodite, or if there be any other delight or diversions said of heaven unto man, 'tis with thy aid, blessed health, that they all do thrive and shine in the converse of the graces. And without thee, no one alive is happy. The shorter version of it, if you have your health, you have everything. What is the state of health in America? What is the state of health care in America? If the big bill passes, as it is slated to do, as the want of moderate Republicans in the United States Senate, the United States House, has permitted to happen, what will be the state of health and health care in America? What say you? The call-in number is 202-808-9925, 202-808-9925. If you have been on Medicaid, if you have been on Medicare, if there you have a family member or friend who has relied upon Medicaid, we'd love to hear from you. Here's some things that we know. We know that more than 26 million lacked health insurance in the first 6 months of 2024, according to the CDC. We know that is a better number than it was before Obamacare. We also know that a big part of that was because of Medicaid expansion, which is a big part, which progressive members of the United States Congress helped advance to make sure that Medicaid expansion was a meaningful part of Obamacare. Sometimes the old tried and true program is in fact a good program. New isn't always better. Proven and workable and actually helping people. It can be improved. All in favor of improvement. But just because it's been working for a while doesn't mean it hasn't been working for a while. I know what I just said sounded absurd, but somehow it gets missed and lost. We know that in the uninsured rate, in the 10 states like Georgia that did not expand Medicaid, sort of flipped off Obamacare and said, no, we don't want our poor people to have health care. We don't want to take that. We want to maintain our version of anti-poverty, or I should say anti-poor ideological purity, or even less ideological purity, and they just didn't want to have to say they were getting anything from a Democratic president or a Democratic Congress. We know that that nearly all their low-income adults when they did not expand was 14.1% in 2023 compared to 7.6% in expansion states. So uninsured Americans that didn't expand Medicaid almost had nearly twice as many uninsured adults as in states that had expanded Medicaid. And now with a big bill, they want to contract it. And that's not the same thing as saying we will double the number of people without insurance and double the number of uninsured Americans, but we might. And what we know is it will go up significantly. We know that it will cost lots and lots of lives and lots of treasure and lots of inequality. We know this. And what's one other reason we know this? Because Tom Tillis is retiring. Senator from North Carolina stood up and said, this would betray a promise. It will be inescapable that it will betray a promise. I am quoting further. I'm telling the president you have been misinformed. You supporting the Senate mark will hurt people who are eligible and qualified for Medicaid. He said he could not support the Senate's bill because of provisions he said could kick 663,000 residents of his state alone off of their health care plans. Between 500,000 and 1 million people in North Carolina alone. And so Tom Tillis, Republican, United States Senator from North Carolina, said, I cannot vote for this bill. He asked the Senate Republicans to jettison the artificial 4th of July deadline and rewrite the bill. Now, of course, there is a thin Senate majority. It was 53 to 50. A little bit better than that because they also get the vice president's vote in the event of a tie. And therefore, every voter, every U.S. Senate member matters. Every U.S. Senate vote matters. In a bygone age, the things I just said, that number of people getting thrown off their health care, a prominent member in a swing state saying, I can't vote for this thing, this bill would be done. It is not a bipartisan bill. It used to be you couldn't really get bills done that weren't bipartisan bills through the Senate. Not just because of the filibuster, but just because of the politics of the thing, because there were too many swing district members who'd say, no, you can't send me down that aisle. You can't walk me off that plank. How can I kick off over 500,000 people from health care in my state? I can't do it. The challenge we face is there really are no moderates left in the Republican Party. You have the U.S. Senator in Alaska, who I would say is one. You have Susan Collins in Maine, who I would not say is one. In fact, her attitude towards moderation versus conservatism, I think even proves a point that I want to make a little bit later about, or at least somewhat related to, the Mamdani election. That she puts herself in the clothes of moderation, but is not. And how do we know that? Because she voted to push this bill going forward, even though she knows it'll kick people off their health care. If we got our health, we got everything. If we don't, we got nothing. What's going to be the state of our health? More right after this. This is Tom.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
This is the Tom Hartman Program, 202-808-9925.
Car sitting around your house? Maybe you're even paying insurance on it. Well, if you don't need that car anymore, donate it, running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. They will even come and pick it up for free and give you a receipt for a tax donation. Breast cancer screening could save the life of someone you love. And right now, they need your help. They want to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And that's what your old car helps to pay for. So get your phone out and call right now to donate your car to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. Remember, they will come pick it up for free and give you a tax donation receipt. Call right now at 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435. That's 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435.
Hey, it's John Mino.
And Jim Schmidt from Mino and the Mayor.
Want to stay in the loop with all things Northeast Wisconsin? Sign up for the WGBW weekly newsletter.
Get the latest local stories, updates on the weather, and a special feature from our Mino and the Mayor podcast.
It's your one-stop shop for real news and great conversation in Northeast Wisconsin.
Log on to WGBW.FM today and get signed up.
Real news, great conversation. Sign up today at WGBW.FM/newsletter.
Hey, it's John Mino.
And I'm Jim Schmidt from Mino and the Mayor.
Join us weekday mornings from 6 to 9 on WGBW and WISS, now brought to you by Pickle and Bags.
For your next group outing, visit pickleandbags.com.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Indy Duttagupta, he is with the Center for Law and Social Policy.
The Trump administration's agenda is reducing economic growth. The programs that they're proposing cutting, like Medicaid and SNAP, especially for kids, actually more than pay for themselves. So we are really looking at a tough long-term economic outlook entirely created by the current policymakers.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the UW system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night, and today the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators got a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station, and on the app.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Missed my opening rant today? It's usually published over at HartmanReport.com, where you can read it and share it with your friends for free. Check it out, HartmanReport.com. I want to say thank you to CB Distillery. If you're still tossing and turning all night and feeling edgy during the day, let me tell you about CBD from CB Distillery. Millions are turning to their CBD for relief because it works. In fact, over 90% of customers report better sleep with CBD, and it's not just sleep. CB Distillery offers targeted formulations for just about everything. Sleep, stress, mood and focus, pain after exercise. They even have CBD for pets, and it's all made with the highest quality, clean ingredients. No fillers, just premium CBD. The sleep gummies are our favorites, and with over 2 million satisfied customers and a 100% money-back guarantee, CB Distillery really is the source to trust. If you're struggling with sleep, stress, or other health concerns, you haven't found relief, make the change, like millions are, to CBD from CB Distillery. And for a limited time, you can save 25% off your entire purchase. Visit CB Distillery and use promo code TOM. That's CB Distillery, promo code THOM. CBDistillery.com. Specific product availability depends on individual state regulations, and we appreciate those who support this show. I'm talking about a Republican U.S. senator. Yep, I know. You called, you tuned in to the Tom Hartman program so you could hear me talk about a Republican U.S. senator. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Tom Tillis. I'm talking about health care. I'm talking about the big, ugly bill. The undermining, the tearing down of America that's been happening for the last 4 months and is trying to happen for 4+ years. And they're going to try to put in enough structural mechanisms in place so they continue to do that. So it is a gift that keeps on giving. And the degree of social justice infrastructure, the public structures that we do have promote the middle class and provide an opportunity for more Americans to enter the middle class. So those are more and more torn down. I am fascinated by what happened with Tom Tillis, and I think it is illustrative of so much of what is happening in America. I am going to quote him, and I'm going to try to be faithful to quote him word for word and put not even a single word in his mouth. If I offer characterization, I will say that's what I am doing. If I offer summary, I will try to say that is what I'm doing. Tom Tillis said, "I respect President Trump. I support the majority of his agenda, but I don't bow to anybody when the people of North Carolina are at risk, and this puts them at risk," he told reporters after he left the floor. He said after three different attempts for them to discredit our estimates, because he went and said the best case scenario was a $26 billion cut to federal support for health care and Medicaid. And he says, now I'm quoting again, after three different attempts for them to discredit our estimates, the day before yesterday, they admitted that we were right, he said on the floor. They cannot find a hole in my estimate. These are the estimates, he said, would impact 663,000, not just impact, take away health care for over 500,000 people in his state, just in North Carolina. It's not the biggest state. It's a pretty big state, but it's not the biggest state. He said to reporters, I'm quoting again, Trump is getting a lot of advice from people who have never governed, and all they've done is written white papers. Adding his quote, people from an ivory tower driving him into a box canyon. So, quoting again, the effect of this bill is to break a promise. And you know, the last time I saw a promise broken on health care, with respect to my friends on the other side of the aisle, who said, if you like your health care, you can keep it. The Senate then worked on debate after he went out and gave his fiery speech, then after on the floor, and then afterwards went and spoke to reporters. To be clear, it is rare in modern times for sitting Republican U.S. senators to challenge this president. And how come? Well, because of what happened next. President Donald Trump said he was going to support a primary challenge to Tom Tillis. And what did Tom Tillis do next? He said he wasn't running again. Now, several things, this teaches us several things. Yes, it's N equals one, one data point. If you rely only on one data point to draw too many conclusions, you're being a bad scientist. But this illustrates some things that are really important. One, there are precious few moderates left, basically none, on the Republican side. Lots of moderates left on the Democratic side. If you want to make a deal, the way you can make a deal is with getting Republicans plus some Democrats. It's very hard to make a deal with Democrats and some Republicans. That's just how things are shaken now. There is more of a monolith among Republicans, more power within the conservative movement, more money, more Fox News, more social media juice, more oligarchic ownership. It is more monochromatic racially. It is more mono-religious religiously. It is has more similarity in terms of age. It is an easier ship to steer, and they have more steering wheels controlled by fewer people that can wield and steer more people. We know that. That is a structural, when people say it's polarized, and I say, I don't like the word polarization because it indicates, it suggests, it may even state out, flat out says, certainly puts an image ahead of kind of roughly equal poles. You imagine the world, with poles, and it's kind of round and kind of equal. Or you think of a magnet as equal poles, north and south poles. This is not how things are working. It is a dishonest way to understand American politics. What you have is a movement that's grown up, and it controls the Republican Party, and now that party and that movement controls America. It does not control the majority of the people, but it controls enough people to run the country. And people who are labeled Republicans in elected office, who don't bow down to that minority movement, to that smaller set of people with outsized money and outsized control over the country, get punished. They get punished like Tom Tillis. But Tom Tillis was at least willing to tell the truth. He was at least willing to say, this is going to hurt a lot of people. And you know what? It's going to hurt a lot of people in states all across the country. And they know it. And they're lying about their numbers. And they can't poke a hole in his numbers. Nice thing about a U.S. senator, they got staff who can run their own numbers. Susan Collins goes ahead and votes for it. Passes 51-49. And how do they end up, it looked like it might be 50-50. How do they get the additional votes? By cutting more people off Medicaid. They didn't get more votes by moving to the middle. They got more votes by cutting more people off their health care, by hurting more people. Cruelty is the point. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
This is the Tom Hartman Program. I'm so honored to be with you.
With us today is co-founder of Native Path Collagen, Dr. Chad Walding. So glad to have you with us. Tell us about your company.
Well, Native Path, we're a company that is really all about aligning human health with the way it's designed to eat, move, and live. You know, we look at the past 100 years and we see a consistent rise in disease, specifically metabolic disease. That rise has been happening despite all our advances in technology and medicine. We really recognize and appreciate the timeless principles that are really appropriate for humans and human health. And what we do as a company is we educate people on nutrition and movement and lifestyle. And we help provide supplements to help fill in the gaps of the vitamins, the nutrients, and minerals that are missing in the modern diet.
And you do this with Native Path Collagen. What exactly is collagen?
Collagen is our hero product. That's the first product we came out with. And collagen is the most abundant protein in the body, right? It's what makes up the structure of your body, your tendons, your ligaments, the things that you look at, like your hair, your skin, your nails. It even makes up your bones and your gut lining. So it's extremely important to have collagen. And it's something that our ancestors would get plenty of with the way they ate, because they would eat nose to tail. They would take the bones of an animal. They would put it in a big pot with hot water and make broth. And that's how they would get collagen. But we're not getting near enough in our modern diet, because we're so bombarded with carbohydrates and fat, and not near enough quality protein, certainly not enough collagen. And collagen is something we produce on our own, but around the age of 20, that starts to decline. Around 50, it really starts to decline. When we're deficient in collagen, it accelerates the aging process, the weakening of the structure of our body. So it becomes really important to start supplementing with it as we get older. consuming quality protein, specifically in the form of collagen, is one of the easiest things you can do that makes the most difference in your health.
It's remarkable stuff. Dr. Chad Walding, thank you so much for dropping by today.
Awesome, Tom. Thank you so much. Good to be here.
Feel better, look younger, start your transformation today at getnativepath.com/.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Tuesday's show, Dana Polacek joins us from La Crosse Distributing, and Shanasty Ireland will share the ultimate July 4th menu.
Plus, Sean Katzbeck gives us the details on Marinette's Logging In Heritage Festival. Join us.
For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. A group of lawyers that help people facing deportation wants to grow amid increased deportations from the Trump administration. Savannah Tomei Olson has this story.
Grant Sovereign is the president of the board of the Community Immigration Law Center. Essentially, the people there work like public defenders for folks who need immigration lawyers. Technically, immigration offenses are civil, not criminal.
We all know what a public defender is. If you can't afford one, you certainly shouldn't go to jail simply because you can't afford a lawyer. But that's exactly what happens in the immigration context, is you can sit in detention, which is a jail, for 6 months, a year, 18 months.
They've been busy since the Trump administration ramped up efforts to deport people and deport them quickly. The only ICE detention facility in Wisconsin is in Juneau.
All of their 200 beds seem to be full with immigrants these days.
Silk exists to make sure everyone gets due process.
We have rules. We all want the rules to apply to everybody, but we all want those rules to apply evenly, and not just because you can afford a lawyer, you can't afford a lawyer, or there aren't enough available. In Wisconsin, there's probably maybe 10 or 15 lawyers who know how to do deportation defense because it hasn't been an issue before.
Now, Silk wants to expand and be able to help more people.
We would like to be a public defender service for the whole state. We have 6 lawyers now who spend weekends and nights trying to help people.
The Community Immigration Law Center is holding a fundraiser with a matching grant from the Madison Community Foundation. The goal is to raise $100,000 in June. We'll have a link at civicmedia.us. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to WGBW.fm.
As Wisconsin has a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A few scattered showers and thunderstorms around this afternoon, otherwise partly sunny with highs in the low to mid 80s. For tonight, skies becoming mostly clear with lows in the lower 60s. First day of July on Tuesday looks great. Sunny, a high of 82. Currently, it's 78.
Matt Nair on air.
From articles that I have seen, if you are a bagel purist, you should not toast your bagel. I think nothing's better than a toasted bagel and a schmear.
Folks, do we have a moment of honesty? Do you really like bagels, or do you like the schmear that is transported by them? Get rid of the stigma. If I walk into this room eating cream cheese out of a tub with a spoon.
Why is that wrong?
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings. But there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. GoTo for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, breaking down more decisions from Wisconsin Supreme Court with Pat Kreitlow. From Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Don't miss it.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
So much for all of your support. Did you know that every weekday we send out an email before the show giving you all the topics coming up so you could be fully informed and ready to interact with our program? Or that after the show we send out Sue's Stack, a list of every topic I've discussed along with clickable hot links to every source of information I've shared with you on the air? It's all completely free and available over at tom.tv, T-H-O-M.tv. Check it out.
back on the air, I want to say thank you to the crew who's working hard to get the phone system working for those who are calling. What I'm going to do is, for those who've been through and talked to Jeremy, I'm going to try to respond to the questions as best as I can as he feeds them to me, so at least we can have the interactivity that we are known for, the reason we call this meeting, the reason I am so grateful to learn from each of you, and each of you have a chance to learn from one another. I won't attempt to do your voice. Okay, I will sound very much like me, but I will try to capture the meaning of your question and do my best to respond to it. And I want to start with Diane from Ann Arbor, who, and I will do my best at characterizing the question. She said she accidentally attended a DSA meeting, Democratic Socialists of America meeting. She said it was great. She wanted to know if she was helping or hurting the Democratic ticket by supporting them. That is a great question. I'd be interested in people's opinions of that. I wrestle with the same thing. And here's what I think. It gets to my question of what we can learn from the election of Mamdani. I mean, so I don't just bury the lead. I have my instinct is to do that, not from cowardice, I hope, but hopefully from storytelling. But I won't bury the lead. I think almost any activity that is not primarily to undermine allies, almost any progressive, almost any pro-social, almost any pro-democracy, almost any sort of pro-positive social contract, positive organizing activity that is dedicated to solving problems and is not itself dedicating it infighting, I think is to the good. I think the most important thing we need is not just more perfect choices by people to advocate, to energize, to engage, to try to move the country in a more pro-democracy direction. I don't think that the most important fight we have to have is betwixt ourselves on what are the most tactical and strategically wise maneuvers. I think the thing we need most is more people doing it. So if you're doing something that feels like the right thing, that doesn't feel like its purpose is to undermine frenemies or allies, that its purpose is to solve problems and make people's lives better, and you apply your sober second sense to that, and the motives of the people involved seem good, and their strategy seems appropriate, and you're a little bit disciplined in how you evaluate those things, you keep your wits about you, so you're not just joining a strange cult. I'm not describing DSA that way. I am describing maybe some alternative efforts that have now run portions of the country that way. I'm not asking you to set aside your judgment, but if you apply your judgment, and in your judgment what you're doing is helping people, then what I'm saying, that's probably the right thing. The thing I think we can trust most is the best judgment of our best people doing their best thing. I trust that more than I trust central command deciding what everybody's activism should look like and sound like and be like. It's one of the reasons I value democracy. It's because I think all of us are smarter than any of us. To be clear, though, I do think each of us need to apply judgment. And that's why I really appreciate your question, Diane. I think we should apply judgment to make sure that we're not getting led down the primrose path. And I have a few questions that I think are worth asking. So my nephew has a friend, and my nephew's friend lives in the adjacent property, lives with my dad. And he has finished high school. He's not attending college. He's working at a mechanic shop. And he's gotten involved in some protesting and some activism. And they're protesting ICE. And he asked me about it just the other day, just before I left town. And he says, you know, it doesn't seem like it's going to do anything. And what should we do? And I said, well, I do think that it is a time for acts of courage. History needs it. It is more important to me to promote acts of courage than it is to me to direct with precision the direction of those acts of courage. And that said, I want to do some direction. I want to offer some advice. I watched during previous recent protests as lessons from Gandhi, as lessons from Martin Luther King were forgotten, were not applied. And here's one of the things I said. And when I said it, he said, oh, that's so good. I want to tell my friends, let me go get a piece of paper and a pen. I was so very proud that even as I age, I might have something to say that is useful to the next generation as they plan their own activism. I was also proud they went and got a paper and a pen and didn't like tweet it or something. I was just something that felt romantic about that. And what I said was, build your movement in a way that does two things. One, as people watch it, they think it should wield more power. Whether it's your protest, your activism, the crew you're putting together, when people watch it, and I don't mean your fundamental adversary, right? I don't mean Donald Trump thinks it should have more power. But where a majority of human beings, let's say, who are not entirely indoctrinated to oppose you at the first, second, third, and fourth instance, but people who have not yet made up their mind, if they're watching you, they think you should wield more power. Second, you operate in a way that people want to join you. That you build an attractive, a magnetic, a recruitment movement. Not one that is only resting in your own purity, not one that is trying to exclude so you can wield power within a shrinking and shrinking and shrinking progressive pie, but that you're doing something that makes other people want to join. I didn't say these things in the same answer to the same question, but here's a third. Actually, it was my preamble. Does it have a chance of accomplishing an objective that you think is valuable? It can be a long-term objective. It can be a shorter-term objective. My favorite objectives are something that has a big vision in mind and has something to be done now to help advance that vision. That it's both. It's not having a false argument between incrementalism and major change. It's recognizing we need major change, and sometimes incrementalism happens on pursuit of major change. It's not just saying incrementalism, it's itself its own objective. It ain't. It's sometimes in trench warfare what you have to be satisfied with. But it should not itself be an objective. But is there an objective that feels worth energy? Is it accomplishable? Could I, with good conscience, ask other people to join it? Because there might be a chance we could celebrate something. Those are my three tests. And I am more interested in your energy in answering those questions, in your trying to help the movements you get engaged with to answer those questions, in you helping people be smarter in their activism, in you helping a progressive movement be smarter. So it doesn't, in its own selfishness or its own ego or its own anger, do things that undermine its own objectives or just waste energy or just get tired after a while. But what we have to do is build energy and not get tired. I'm more interested in that than I'm interested in my own specific answers. Because I think if we can get to, what's the new research that was done? Was it done at Yale? That said that where you find when you get to 3.5% of people in a country who are actively participating in nonviolent social movements, it succeeds in regime change. And when they looked across, I think even more than recent history, and across the world, every time a social movement got to 3.5% of the population that was actively engaged in peaceful resistance to the power structure, there was progress and success in regime change. Now, that's a lot. That's about three times, I think, as many people participated in the No Kings rally and march and protest. And by the way, that is not a knock on that protest. That was a well-run, during the daytime, not focused mostly on breaking things, focused on something that if people watched it, they'd want those people to have more power. And when people watched it, they might be more interested in joining. And people who had, at the very least, a strong communications objective, which is, let's make sure we're not on the side of kings. It's a clear message. I remember it, and so does everybody else. I am more interested in more people activating to get towards or past that 3.5% than I am in thinking that I should be precisely in charge of it. All right, but I say that, and I do believe what I said, but I don't want to dodge your question. I want to take it on. It's one of the most important questions. It's related to this question of should we move to the left or move to the middle? After every election that I could remember, there has been the same debate with powerful arguments on both sides. If you want to win the country, you got to move to the left. If you want to win the country, you got to move to the middle. And it is a thin, to a larger degree, lazy argument. We have to go to break in a second, so I'm going to have to tease my own answer to that after the break. I think arguments, by the way, that there are smart people who say, yeah, if you want to win, you got to get to 51%. And that doesn't just include the people on the leftish of the political spectrum, if there is such a thing. And the people who say we've got to be about core values, not just pretending not to be what we really believe or not picking the best answers or not doing things that will actually solve problems. We have to actually do hard things and smart things and the best things, live with our values, if we have any chance of winning and if we deserve to win. That's true, too. I think it ends up being a taste great, less filling argument, right? The old Miller Lite ad, that was a joke. Was it taste great or less filling? When we come back to the break, I want to say what I think about what we can and can't learn from that election and better answer the question that we're posed. I'll be right back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Are you doing yourself a favor? Are you doing the movement a favor by doing more moderate things, more lefty things, more ethical?
Love watching television? If you're on a fixed budget, you need to make this free call right now to Dish and find out how you can get a fixed monthly price to watch all the television you want for 3 full years. In addition to a 3-year price guarantee, you can also get free monthly movie rentals. They give you one free movie rental every month. That's a $165 value, yours free. Plus, get free in-home tech visits, no-cost equipment replacements, a free voice remote, and you can watch commercial-free TV. Even access all your favorite apps to stream like Netflix, Amazon Prime, YouTube, and more. Now is the perfect time to call Dish. Take advantage of the 3-year price guarantee. Save yourself some money and all your equipment is free. Call right now.
800-478-5560. 800-478-5560. 800-478-5560. That's 800-478-5560. Paid for by NPS.
Hey, it's Amanda, and we all know that Northeast Wisconsin has some of the best events around, but trying to find them all can be tricky. So here at WGBW, we decided to do the work for you. Prevent boredom on any night by going to WGBW.fm and click events in the top right corner. You'll never have to spend forever scrolling to find out what's going on in your area. And if you got an event to share, hit us up by emailing info@WGBW.fm. We can work together to have real news and great conversation while giving you the 411 on what's happening in New Wisco.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Ever since I started the recombobulation area, I've written an in-depth breakdown of every new edition of the Marquette University Law School poll. The newest poll asks about a range of topics, whether Tony Evers should run for a third term, where people stand on Donald Trump's economic policies, and a host of issues relating to the state budget. The poll paints a picture of a polarized Wisconsin. Many people are very dug into their partisan camps, which is perhaps to be expected in the most evenly divided state in the nation. But there are a number of issues polled that do have the support of more than two-thirds of Wisconsin voters. Those include extending Medicaid coverage for new moms, legalizing marijuana, making major increases in state aid for special education, providing mental health services in schools, allowing citizen-led ballot initiatives, and banning cell phones in schools. What do most of these issues have in common? They are policies being advanced by Democrats in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Distinguished television journalist Bill Moyers died June 26th at age 91. In his long career, he earned 30 Emmy Awards, served as President Lyndon Johnson's press secretary, and was a stalwart voice for democracy and democracy reform. On Being a Reporter, Moyers told a Chautauqua Institution audience in 2016, "I was hooked, and in one way or another, I've continued to engage the issues of money and power, equality and democracy over a lifetime spent at the intersection between politics and journalism." From 1964 to 1967, he served as Johnson's press secretary during the passage of the Civil Rights Act and Voting Rights Act. He was instrumental in the creation of public broadcasting, where he later reported for almost a decade. He wrote scores of commentaries for CBS and NBC and produced 70 documentaries for PBS. Democracy and democracy reform appears frequently in Moyers' work, including his Moyers on Democracy podcast and a companion book of speeches. When Moyers retired in 2017, he wrote, please remain vigilant and engaged as citizens in the civic and political life of your community and our country. Democracy is fragile, and no one can say with certainty that it can withstand the manifold risks to which it is now exposed. We've linked to his farewell essay and more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us.
If you're a homeowner, you got to listen to this. In today's AI and cyber world, scammers are stealing home titles, and your equity is the target. Here's how it works. Criminals forge your signature on one document, use a fake notary stamp, pay a little fee with your county, and just like that, your home title has been transferred out of your name. Then they take out loans using your equity or even sell your property, and you don't even know what's happened until you get a collection or a foreclosure notice. So when's the last time you checked on your home title? If your answer is never, you should do something about it right now. That's why we have partnered with Home Title Lock, so you can find out today if you're already a victim. Go to HometitleLock.com/Tom, and you'll get a free title history report and a free trial of their $1 million triple lock protection. That's 24/7 monitoring of your title, urgent alerts to any changes, and if fraud does happen, they will spend up to $1 million to fix it. If fraud does happen, forgive me. Find out why we trust Home Title Lock. Protect yourself like we did. Don't be a victim. Protect your home equity today. Go to HometitleLock.com/Tom. That's HometitleLock.com/Tom. Thank you to the people who support this program and the people who support this program. So Diane had this question. I got involved in the DSA. Am I helping the Democratic movement? My answer is, if you're applying your judgment that is doing something that is strategic, that has a valuable objective, that looks like it should wield more power and will attract more people to it, and its primary objective is not just undermining frenemies or enemies, it doesn't think that the most important thing to do is internecine fighting with the 49% of Americans who self-describe as, excuse me, with the 27%, I'll look at the number to get it precisely right, of Americans, I think it's 25%, who self-describe as liberal and is not involved in internecine conflict with roughly 49% of Americans who lean Democratic voters. As long as it's working to build the pie and solve problems, I think it's to the good. Now, the thing that I thought was most strategic that I ever did was organize people to work in swing districts in state legislative races where the state legislature was close. It's the most strategic thing I ever did. It has had, I think it's literally now up to just about decades of positive impact. It helped change the landscape in my state. A lot of political consultants didn't want to acknowledge that because they didn't want to acknowledge anything that grassroots folks do. They want to only acknowledge the fees that are paid to those political consultants. But when you knock on 4,000, 5,000 doors in a district that is won by 47 votes, and when you have a state house that ends up being decided by one vote, you know, each and every single one of those volunteers mattered, even if the political consultants don't want them to. Even if they really want just the mail pieces they get commissions on, the TV ads they get ad buy fees on, they want to pretend those are the only things that matter. Human shoe leather matters. Your time matters. If I am going to answer questions, what's the most useful thing? That's the most strategic thing I ever did. Because it helped build a lasting majority. It helped then the legislature, of course, is involved in congressional redistricting. So instead of what has happened in North Carolina, what certainly what happened in Florida, where you had a swing state, a tied state, the Republicans got control of the legislature, and they controlled the district so much that they had dozens of seats majority margin, dozens of seats margin in the state legislature. So that to me felt really strategic. Be strategic. I also think don't just be strategic within urban areas. Don't just be strategic within the base. Because it can teach some lessons that don't apply everywhere. I do think we should try to expand the movement. But it gets us to this question about Mamdani, which I think is fascinating and is inspiring. And he is, you see, I've never met the guy. He seems like a wonderful guy. And to the people who are trying to pile on against him, I'm not joining that team. This is, do I know he was exactly the right candidate at exactly the right time? I don't know. I don't live in New York. Do I think that he's onto something? I do. That said, let's be careful how many conclusions we draw from one data point. It gets us to something that is that we should keep in mind, that in order to win the country, it gets this sort of this: should we move to the middle or move to the right? What we know is that roughly 37% of Americans last year identified as conservative or very conservative, 34% as moderate, 25% as liberal or very liberal. Let's say that again. This is Pew's data. They didn't use the word progressive, but they did use conservative, moderate, or liberal. 37% conservative. That's that locked-in thing. No matter what Donald Trump did, his poll numbers never got below 37%. It's not one-to-one, but pretty close. 34%, just over a third, is moderate, and 25%, a quarter, is liberal or very liberal. So this question that Tom deals with eloquently, should you try to be centrist? Here's what I say. It is useful to be considered centrist, because the media wants to hear that, donors want to hear that, and even more Americans want to hear that, because only 25% of people self-identify as liberal or very liberal. But if you look at solutions and you ask, should women have a right to choose? Is that worthy of subsidy? Should people who can't afford health care have access to health care versus cutting people off their health care? Should we do more to have pathways to the middle class? Should we fund public education? Should we fund firefighters? Should we have policies that make it easier and better for people to participate in the democratic process? Significant majorities of Americans agree with those things. So what does the right wing have to do? Not only do they have to focus so much attention on immigration and trans bathrooms and spend so much money on things like that, but also spend so much money on tarnishing the brand, promoting cutout accounts, even leftist accounts, who bash on the word liberal, who try to shrink that, who then, instead of saying, oh, these are solutions I like, those are liberal solutions, saying, oh, hate liberals, hate Democrats, and therefore solutions that you like, you should also dislike. That where we have to put our attention is less on arguing about whether to move to the middle or move to the left, but moving the middle to us in building a pro-democracy, pro-social majority. That's what I think.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
You trust your deodorant? Most deodorants just don't work for us working guys. But then Mando rolled into town, ready to tackle all-over odors before they even start. Mando created high-performance deodorants for whole-body odor control. Safe for your pits, packages, and feet, Mando's science-based formula is pH-optimized, capable of blocking odors before they start. Deodorants you're used to using just mask odors or neutralize them after they form, but Mando is powered by mandelic acid, clinically proven to work all day long. Developed by doctors, it's hypoallergenic and skin-safe for your sensitive parts. You can use Mando all over and leave your odor worries behind. Give Mando a go and see why guys are loving it. If it's not for you, they'll gladly refund you within 60 days. Smell better longer with Mando. Get 20% off site-wide on your first Mando purchase with the code TOM, T-H-O-M, at shopmando.com. Plus, shipping is always free. That's 20% off site-wide for first-time customers with the code TOM at shopmando.com.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It's National Handshake Day, but I find the idea that you just meet someone and you're holding a body part of theirs kind of odd. Hello, stranger. I'd like to squeeze your hand. Let's have an intimate act here. I have no idea where it's been or how you choose to use your hand in your spare time, but I'd like to hold it for a while. Unless it's a friend. Look, I don't know why we have to touch each other when we barely know each other.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Mino and the Mayor.
Show the picture he showed me today in the striped little short shorts.
No, it was the
belly.
They
would be banned now.
I know. No, John.
Too much skin.
Hubba, hubba, hubba.
Man, dig that crazy chick.
Who wears short shorts?
We wear short shorts.
and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The Senate now taking up amendments for that massive budget bill. ABC's Jay O'Brien says Republicans hold a razor-thin margin to get it passed during the vote-a-rama.
Talk about the political reality here, which is John Thune, the top Republican in the Senate, already lost two Republicans on that key procedural vote over the weekend. They are not expected to flip from no to yes on final passage of this bill, which is going to come really hours from now at this point. So he can only afford to lose one more.
The Trump administration threatening to pull all federal funding for Harvard University, accusing Harvard of civil rights violations. Harvard says it strongly disagrees. Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney said late yesterday that trade talks with the U.S. have resumed, with Canada rescinding a digital tax on U.S. tech firms. And after 7 weeks of the sex trafficking trial of Sean Diddy Combs, the jury has begun deliberations. It follows the judge's instructions earlier today. This is ABC News.